You are listening to Do You Believe in Magic on OTG and Nothing But Net Network here on Dash Radio. Be sure to follow us on iTunes by searching Do You Believe in Magic and subscribe today. What's up, Magic fans? This is Do You Believe in Magic? And we hope that you do. I'm your host and credentialed media member, Preston Ellis, and joining me from the Orlando Pinstripe Post, first up, the most influential teacher at Seabreeze, Mr. Aaron Goldstone. Congratulations on the honor, sir.
Thank you, Preston. I appreciate that. It's been a long time. I'm glad we're back and running.
Yeah, and I should have said fellow credentialed media member because, as you all know, Will Ogburn and Aaron Goldstone also frequent Magic basketball games whenever they are playing. It's going to be a hot second. I hope you guys are enjoying your summer thus far. And also joining him, as I just prefaced myself, the man who was so fed up with Magic basketball that he moved to Atlanta to watch Dennis Schroeder, Mr. Will Ogburn. How's your summon going, sir?
Oh, gosh, man. Trading Elfrid Payton for Dennis Schroeder, man. What an upgrade. Like you said, man, big props to Aaron, one of the most giving people we know, you know, taking his free time after dealing with kids all day to cover the Magic in such an extensive way. And he obviously loves all of it. So, I'm loving it here in Atlanta and just ready to get podcasting going, you know.
Aaron, which would you say is more exhausting, watching the Magic or managing children?
Definitely the Magic, because it comes second in my day. So like I'll get up early and work, and then I'll drive to Orlando, and it gets a little tiring because then I'll come home and kind of do it all over again. But I love it all. I'm not sure that I always wanted to be a teacher. Both my parents were, so they told me never to be a teacher. But I kind of didn't know what else to do at the point, so I started, and 11 years later, here I am. And the kids at my school at Seabreeze kind of just make it really easy and enjoyable. I'm kind of lucky to be at a good school. So I would have a different opinion if it was maybe a different venue, but I'm pretty happy there for sure. I'm right on the beach, so you can't beat that.
Very nice. All jokes aside, glad to have you guys back. Glad to be talking Magic basketball once again, especially you, Will. I wasn't sure how well you would keep in touch after your move. So thrilled that you guys are doing this, and hopefully we'll be doing this every week, all off season long, probably somewhere around this time. You can follow them at Aaron Goldstone and at Go So Hard, spelled like you're from Louisiana. If you didn't already know, let's get into it, you guys. Oh, before we move on, Will, you mentioned trading Elfrid Payton for Dennis Schroeder. What do you think of Elfrid's new haircut?
Oh, man, it's so funny because there are all these like conspiracy theorists on Twitter that have been saying like Elfrid Payton would be great if he just cut his hair. So, I mean, now we get to see it, man. Maybe he's going to be the next all-star point guard in the league that's going to just catch fire next year. Maybe his hair was truly what was holding him back.
I need to think. It was on First Take a couple of months ago, and I'm trying to think of who it was, and maybe one of our listeners can tell us. It was a retired Hall of Fame player who mentioned that if Colin Kaepernick cut his hair, that was the solution to getting work in the NFL. And I'll try to dig it up whenever we get into this. But let's go back to Aaron Goldstone. Let's talk Orlando Magic. They needed a lucky bounce last week, and for the fourth time in 6 years, they just couldn't find any magic, so to speak, in the draft room. Less than 10% odds of a top overall pick and less than 30% of a top three, they instead fell into the 50% odds of staying pat or dropping back one. Aaron, the popular conversation was the Magic's season-ending win over Washington that could have netted them the third overall pick. What was your initial reaction to the news?
If you just looked at the odds, the sixth pick, unfortunately, is the most likely outcome when you go in with the fifth worst odds, which is weird. But I wasn't surprised. I was a little disappointed. It's just one of those systems where you never know. Like, fans will always say they should have lost more games. They should have lost more games. And, if you're playing by the numbers, that's true. But then you look at a team like Sacramento that jumped to second and, they won more games than the Magic did. And they just, they got the lucky bounce this time. And, you go to the well too many times. They've gotten the first pick in the 90s a couple times, and they got the first pick, that led them to Dwight Howard. And it's just not one of those things that, happens all the time. Hopefully you don't want it to happen all the time. You want to ideally not be in the lottery. I'm rambling here a little bit. I guess it was kind of the expected outcome, but I was hoping for some better news. It's okay. Like, I don't think there's a LeBron James or something like that at the top of this draft. Like, I like some of the guys at the top, but I don't know. Like, the sixth pick could be just as solid as the second or third. Like, there's a lot of unknown variables we're working with here.
Well, I don't think it's as bad as we all think. Obviously, it's disappointing to fall down. But with that being said, there's a lot of big men that are slated to be taken 2 through 5 at this point. And we'll go through all of them. Jaren Jackson, Mo Bamba, DeAndre Ayton, et cetera, et cetera. But Luka Doncic is the only wing player or backcourt player who's expected to go in the top five. So the Magic weren't expected to. Obviously, they're going to take the best player available. I don't want to step on those toes. But with that being said, being the backcourt, the wing player, being a higher place of need, how detrimental is falling to the sixth pick actually for the Magic, Will?
Yeah, I mean, it's always fun to just kind of watch anarchy on Twitter. Like, everybody's like, oh, we're cursed or whatever. But honestly, like, you know, I was pulling up all the guys that I would like to see on the Magic, and I got like 7 or 8 deep, and it's like, okay, like, if everybody who I like is gone, there's still 4 or 5 more guys. So, like, it doesn't really matter. Like, people say that it's like, you know, top 2 or 3, but then sometimes the top 4 or 5 are kind of in flex. Some people like Michael Porter a lot. Some people think Trae Young could be a star. All it takes is one team. And we've seen that happen in the past where guys go get, I mean, bad example, but like Anthony Bennett wasn't on anybody's boards. And so then you see like that same year, Nerlens Noel was projected to be the first pick for a while. So it just, you can't really tell until draft night, but you look at some of these guys and it's like, you know, would I be upset if we ended up with like a Mo Bamba or even a Trae Young? Not at all. I think that no matter where we come out of this draft, we're going to have a player that hopefully we like, unless they go totally off the board, unless we are this team that's just like, oh, well, we're going to get, you know, Bridges or somebody that's supposed to be farther down the list, you know?
Now, my only take against this, and I'm gonna continue in on this train of thought that we were just discussing, Will. I think the Magic are exactly where they need to be. They're in a great position, like you said, for a lot of these guys. Who's to say they're gonna go with Trae Young? Obviously, that's the popular pick. You got Wendell Carter, Michael Porter Jr., as you mentioned, Mikal Bridges. There's so many different names that Jeff Weltman and John Hammond could be looking at right now, but the one way that it does hurt the Magic, Aaron, and I'll get your thoughts on this. If the Magic did want to swindle some kind of draft day trade to acquire a player like a Bradley Beal or a CJ McCollum or whoever else they might be discussing at this point, teams that need to shake it up right now, teams like the Toronto Raptors, for example, do you think there was any likelihood or still could be that the Magic could be dangling that pick for something?
Probably not anymore. Not for the kind of players that you were talking about. You know, you bring up a good point. If that's their goal was to pick up some sort of established semi-star, but also kind of young, they probably would have needed to be at least in the top 3 or 4. And they're probably outside of that range. But I still think it's a range where there's a guy like Marvin Bagley III or Michael Porter Jr. that are definitely in play to drop. For whatever reason, measurements, medical flags, whatever. And if the Magic are not feeling them, and for some reason some team is, you know, I do think that's a prime spot to get something, you know, and now it's just a question of how far are you dropping to pick up another asset or whatever. You know, I look at those guys, and we can get into it, but, you know, if they drop these two studs that were presumed to be at the top to 5 or 6, now you're thinking, like, well, what's wrong with them? Why did they drop? So, it's a weird spot, but they will get a good player. You know, it's a roster full of not so good players, and they'll get somebody good that'll help somewhere.
Here's my thinking, Will, and I'm sorry that I'm diving down this rabbit hole, but damn it, it's just so fun. Like, for example, if Mo Bamba should fall a couple of spots to the Magic at that point, obviously Portland has a difficult decision right now over Yusuf Nurkic, and maybe that's a spot where, you know, their staff of Terry Stotts over there is enamored with Mo Bamba, and maybe the Magic can get off some salary like, Evan Fournier, Nikola Vucevic, whoever they want to move. Obviously, Bismack Biyombo would be the ideal candidate, but incredibly difficult to move. But would you be interested in acquiring some kind of superstar with the Magic draft pick and offloading some salary?
I mean, well, when you say it like that, sure. But I think that, like, I don't know, like you were saying, you got to be a little bit realistic. I mean, people were saying, you know, like, there was that rumor about Karl-Anthony Towns coming up for sale, and, like, there are so many other teams. Like, I always tell people, since I kind of follow a couple teams, like, you got to think about what these fans of these other teams are saying. So, yeah, like, Magic fans would love to have a player like Karl-Anthony Towns or Kawhi Leonard, but then there's, you know, the Suns have the number one pick, so they can say, okay, well, whatever the Magic have, we'll match that, and we'll have a higher pick. And so, like, I think that either way, like, obviously I'm never going to be upset about trading for a star, but like I said, I'm happy with really anything at this point, because I don't think the draft really flattens out, to use Jeff Waltman's words. So I think that we can get a nice player, or if they want to swing for the fences and find a way to get one of those guys, swindle them, as you said, that would be nice, especially if you can get, like you said, a Brad Beal, maybe package a couple of firsts or a couple of our players, maybe a Fournier, maybe a Vooch. Like we said, we're not really sure where his value is, but I mean, yeah, I think that either way, I'd be pretty happy.
All right, let's go ahead and get talking to the most important storyline of the day, unless you want to hop in on that. Again, you guys can follow Aaron Goldstone at Aaron Goldstone and Will Ogburn at Go So Hard. We are all members of the Orlando Pinstripe Post community. Let's get to an article on the OrlandoPinstripePost.com right now from Andre Rodriguez. Point guard talk remains all the rage. And of course, he is referring to Trae Young and Colin Sexton. And Trae's got the sexy numbers. He's probably the guy that Magic fans want at this point. He puts up the 27 points and 8 assists per game. He's got that explosive shooting touch. He's a great passer, while Colin Sexton is more of the Russell Westbrook mode. I think they call him Little Bull or something like that. And he had that famous 3-on-5 game, and he played really well in the tournament. Trae Young is the guy that everybody's pointing to at this point. Who would you like to see selected at 6 overall, Aaron?
Well, I mean, I don't know if that's the route they're going to go, but if that's the decision the team is making, Young or Sexton, I'm heavily in favor of Trae Young. And just kind of before I get into why, a couple measurements at the combine. Colin Sexton came in at about 6'1.5", which was a full inch and a half shorter than he was listed in college. So, I mean, he actually came in shorter than Trae Young, and Trae Young gets ripped for his size. He's a little bit stronger. He's definitely a little bit longer, but, you know, I think that narrative of Trae Young being too small is way overblown. At 19, I know I was a little bit skinnier than I am right now, a few adult beverages later, but you know, you're going to put on weight. You're going to put on girth. I think, you know, you look at his measurements, he comes in exactly Trae Young, height, reach, length, as guys like Chris Paul, as guys like Kemba Walker. Now, when they got in the NBA, they became grown men and they got stronger and everything. So I don't know. I really like Trae Young because I watched these conference finals games, and it's like teachers observing other teachers' classrooms. Like, you're looking at what works. Like, what are the really good teams doing? And, you know, they have players like Trae Young that can shoot, that can make teams work on the defensive end, that can stretch the floor. You know, people really like to focus on the shot selection, think he's selfish. I mean, he led the nation in assists, and he was playing with like Division II players. Basically, if you watched Oklahoma play, he probably could have had 3 or 4 assists per game more than he did, because his teammates were just garbage. But, you know, I really think he gives the Magic exactly what they need. Excitement, relevancy, shooting, scoring, and they can give him room to grow because they don't have to be good right away. So I think it's a perfect fit.
I'm going to go devil's advocate here and attack you with this one, Will. In regards to Trae Young, obviously he's got that Steph Curry type flair to his game, although he likes to say that he models his game after Steve Nash. But Colin Sexton's a little bit better on both ends of the floor, both offensively and defensively. And we've seen Trae Young struggle on that end of the floor. And then you get to thinking about guys like Kemba Walker, guys like Dame Lillard, these guys who show you flashes of excellence in the initial regular season. But once they get to the postseason, these teams that Aaron Goldstone was mentioning, these smart teams, they know how to take advantage of players like that. Do you think that Trae Young is somebody who needs to be protected on the defensive end of the floor, or do you think he can grow his game to the next level like a Steph Curry?
Okay, first off, which Steve Nash was Trae Young watching? Like, was this like video game Steve Nash, and he plays Steve Nash in 2K and be like, I like the way this guy plays when I average 30 a game with him? Like, I don't know if I see that at all. But I think that, I mean, you're right on defense. I mean, he's kind of a slight type of guy. He's not really built to be big. And we've talked about it. I mean, the point guard depth in the NBA is why the Magic have struggled. One of the reasons why, because there are so many good point guards that at that position, night in and night out, you're going to have to face an elite player more times than not. And I think that also with the Magic, you face the challenge of not having another player who can really cover you. Maybe that guy can be Jonathan Simmons. You know, maybe there are some other guys when they get back with injuries, they could be a little bit better defensively. But I think that that is the way the knock on him. I'm not as worried about the turnovers. I'm not as worried about the kind of reckless play because, you know, like Aaron was saying, these guys like were a YMCA team with him. So like if you're going to go down, you got to go out shooting if you're talented like he was. And I think, you know, if it was me, I'd rather people question me making bad decisions than being passive, because that's a bad way to get your career started. So I think that, you know, it's all going to be about good coaching. And as we know by the Magic's great coach they've hired, Coach X, he's going to instill a great work ethic in Trae Young. So I can guarantee you he's going to come to Orlando. He's going to learn what he needs. No, but seriously, I think that that's that might be something that they need to look for in their coaching. Well, it certainly should be, is someone who can develop young players and who can instill has a successful path of kind of making players adapt to the NBA. Because if you get a guy who's young and he's learning as well as Trae Young, that can end badly. And that's the kind of player that could get beat up, could get gun shy early if he takes a lot of punishment.
It must be difficult for Jeff Weltman and John Hammond to nail down a coach at this point when they have no idea who their next superstar is going to be, whether they're going to bring the one that they currently have back and at what number. Definitely a pickle until this draft day commences. And I definitely want to continue this line of thinking. We're so enamored with point guard talk right now, Aaron Goldstone. But let's take a trip up to Boston and view some of the things that Danny Ainge has been doing. He's been going away from drafting guys like Buddy Hield and Jamal Murray, and he's been taking Jalen Brown. He's been going away from guys like Markelle Fultz. And we can debate whether or not he knew that there was something up with Markelle Fultz's shoulder, but I wasn't not privy to that information going into draft night. I didn't know anything about it and that he was going to come in with new mechanics. But with that being said, Danny Ainge was comfortable enough to move back two spots and to take another wing. Assembling wings seems to be the hardest thing to do in the NBA right now. Acquiring them, they're difficult to find. And once teams do get them, they don't let them go anywhere. With that being said, in today's NBA, do you value the wing more than you do the point guard position? And do you think that has to factor into Jeff Weltman's line of thinking?
I don't know if I value it more. I mean, I value the wing probably equally. Versatility, I guess, on the wing would be key. I'm thinking now about something that Coach Vogel said last year heading into the regular season. I think it was during training camp or something. And he said kind of he views the NBA now as point guards, centers, and then sort of in-betweens, like twos, threes, fours that are all interchangeable. And on rosters, you need about five or six of them that could split the two, three, four, you know, basically kind of just throw them out there and be able to switch and match and everything. So that's kind of how I see, you know, not that Vogel is known for being some modern NBA, you know, genius, but that's kind of how I see, you know, building an NBA roster. But the thing is, the wings, the two threes or whatever, right now, the way the class is set up, that's not like where the depth is at the top of this draft. You've got Luka Doncic, who's going to go number one, probably one or two. But after that, you don't really have like wings. Like you don't have the Jaylen Browns, Jason Tatums that you were just talking about. It's really top heavy with bigs, which is interesting philosophically since the NBA is moving away towards that kind of, and I don't know, four or five of the top seven could be 6'10" or taller. So that's going to be really interesting to see how it all plays out.
Let me ask you something crazy just for fun, Will, and then we'll go ahead and we'll move on. Let's say Luka Doncic camp says that, I don't know, he's only going to play, or he's only going to come to America if he can play for the Chicago Bulls. Let's say he said that, because there's a debate going back and forth, and this isn't the first time it's happened. Obviously, a lot of overseas players have tried to dictate what team and their camps, so too with them. But let's just say for the sake of fun that Luka Doncic says he only wants to play in Chicago. If you're the Orlando Magic, do you still draft him?
I mean, I think the Orlando Magic already have an experience similar to that, and I don't think that that's something they want to try again with our boy Fran. But no, I mean, it's kind of funny because like the way the lottery kind of went down, it was like, you know, the Kings and the Suns, And then, you know, you just imagine these GMs like, oh, perfect. Like, one of us is going to get Luka Doncic to, like, save our franchise. And it's like that conceited gif from Twitter. Luka Doncic is like, I don't know about you guys, man. I see what you guys are doing, all that talent you got down there. Like, I think it's so funny that, like, what was it, like, the day after the lottery, Doncic was just like, ah, I might just kind of chill out over here for a minute. I don't know if I feel like going to those two teams. But, yeah, no, I mean, I don't know, man. It's tough. Like, again, I hate to just keep doing this. You know that I'm usually, like, a little bit cynical and pessimistic, but I'm just so happy about this draft. I feel like I keep saying the same things. It's like, if you have the potential to get a player that you think could be a star, you know, you're doing scouting all year. You like your guys, and if you have an opportunity to take one of your guys or a guy in Doncic that, you know, once you got six, he probably just kind of left your mind, you might as well take the guy that you know, because, I mean, it could go a lot of ways wrong.
Yeah, we saw Nerlens Noel kind of fall that way. Go ahead, get in there, Aaron.
Sorry, I just had to jump in there real quick. Just, I don't know. I thought it was really strange the way this whole thing took off on Twitter with Doncic and these rumors about maybe he's not going to come over. And I don't know. I just found that to be really hard to believe and just overblown, because somebody made a really great point. I forget who it was. They tweeted. They said, could you imagine in college some kid in the Elite Eight or the Final Four and his team's on a run, and he was asked, are you going to go to the NBA while his team is still playing? And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm going, like, for sure. Like, this team doesn't matter to me. Like, that would be, you know, the kid would be ripped for that. You know, you wait till the year is over, even if everybody knows. And so he was still playing at that point. And when the question was asked, and who knows what was lost in translation, you know, from across the Atlantic. But there's nothing left in Europe for Doncic to really accomplish. Like, he has been the best player on that continent for a year, and he's only 19, and he was pretty dominant last year, and he's going to come over. Like, I really wouldn't worry about that. And I think Phoenix is perfect for him, because the familiarity with his national coach, and Phoenix has always kind of been like a free-flowing offensive organization. Like, we don't really care that much about defense. We're going to outscore everyone, and, like, everybody's going to score a lot of points. And it just seems like, even though maybe they've already got a lot of wings, like, it just seems like he would be so perfect in Phoenix.
Do you think it's kind of fishy that they hired, hopefully I say this right, Igor Kokoskov, and then they won the lottery a few weeks later, Aaron?
Russian hacking, man.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the Twitter lottery conspiracies. Like, that's just, you could lose a lot of time looking at those. But yeah, I mean, it's a coincidence for sure. I mean, he's a good coach. I was really hoping the Magic would give him a look, but I guess they knew we weren't going to win the lottery. So,
Aaron, I wanted to poke fun at you. You mentioned a Frank Vogel quote about, you know, point guard, centers, and a bunch of in between, and I think that's inherently funny, because the Magic do have so many centers, and now we look to the NBA playoffs and so few centers get any meaningful minutes.
Yeah,
so maybe the game kind of passed Frank Vogel by in that regard. Of course, we've seen all these head coaches adapt. We talked about Otto Porter Jr. earlier, and I definitely wanted to continue on that. Obviously, he had that back injury that took away his lone freshman season of college. He joined, however, the year before that, he joined Alonzo Mourning, Chris Webber, LeBron James, and Dwight Howard as the only players to win both the Naismith and the Gatorade Boys National Player of the Year awards and be named the most valuable player of the McDonald's All-American game. That is quite the list. All future Hall of Famers in their own rights, or current Hall of Famers in that regard. But according to mock drafts, Aaron, just because of the injury to his back, he could fall as far as 10. And he's been quoted saying that he's the best player in the draft. And they ask him how he knows, and he says, because I've played against all those guys. What are your thoughts in regard to Otto Porter Jr. at this point? Why do I keep saying Otto Michael Porter Jr.?
Also, you skipped me, man. I'm heated.
Oh, get in there, Will. It's your turn.
Hey, man, I have so much experience on this guy, man. I've watched every minute of his college career except for the first four or whatever. I think that he's a very interesting prospect. He watching him, he didn't look very good. He looked rusty is what he looked in those couple games he played. But the thing is, like, you could see it. Like, I remember watching him and being like, man, I hope this guy slides. Like, I just, like, the entire time I was watching, I was like, oh, I like, selfishly, it's like, I kind of hope he misses the shot. Oh, no, he committed a turnover. Oh, darn. Because, like, you could see, like, it's there. Like, he looks so confident. He looks so poised. He looks like Buzz Lightyear, man. He's, like, chiseled. He's got, like, this aura about him that's, like, he looks like he's ready. And it's kind of interesting that, like, you know, we never know what would have happened if he had been healthy. Maybe he would be the guy that we were talking about that Phoenix was going after or that Sacramento was going after. And, you know, we saw that coming out of high school, like you were talking about. He was that guy. You know, people, I mean, Ayton was more or less under the radar. So was Doncic. Obviously, he was like, you know, a baby at that point, Doncic. But he was one of the guys, along with Bagley, that was talked about in the preseason as far as the number one pick. And so I think that whichever team gets him is going to get a tremendous amount of value.
Aaron, get on in there. Same thing. I was going to preface this with the next question or continue on with this, but if there should be any shakeup in the first six overall selections leading to somebody like a Mo Bamba follow to the Magic, it would have to be Michael Porter Jr., right?
I think so. It would be Porter Jr. It might even, again, like I said, it could be Bagley the third. You know, you look at two guys right now that they dodged the combine a little bit. I mean, at least Porter Jr. got the measurements and everything. He didn't do any kind of athletic testing. He didn't do any 5-on-5. Bagley the third totally skipped it. And, you know, that kind of red flags for me. I mean, guys have done that before, but you know, when you're skipping the combine, when other top guys are going to be there, you know, now it's kind of like, what are you hiding? And you know, the agent is saying, well, just go wow teams in workouts. But now you're putting all your ducks in a row. And if you don't work out well for a day or two, and you know, now all of a sudden you're sliding. Like, I think I saw the same article that you saw, Preston, and like the headline was like, Michael Porter Jr. is eager to show everyone that he's healthy and back, but then it says he skipped all 5-on-5 drills and all athletic measurements and everything at the combine. I'm like, oh, really?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. If I'm him and like he was already the number one or two pick or whatever coming out of high school and he slipped a little bit, if you really are healthy and you're confident and you're now the best player and you've already lost 6 or 7 slots, why not at least do your vertical leap, your shuttles, why not play a little bit and show, no, I'm healthy, I'm back, I'm the best player in this draft. You know, you might actually buy yourself a couple slots. I mean, like, I don't know. Maybe that's just me, but I really, really worry about him, not because of his film in college, because we all know he wasn't healthy, but when I watched him play at the McDonald's and play at the Hoop Summit and play at FIBA, like, he just seemed like a chucker to me. Like, he would score 19 points on like 18 shots. Like, he can dunk. He's pretty good. Like, he's flashy, but, like, he can't really shoot the three. He seemed like he was just a really good high school player against other high school kids. And I got a very, like, Aaron Gordon vibe from him, where if we re-signed Gordon, it would be a lot of duplicity there. So, I don't know.
Yeah. Go for it, Will.
Yeah, like, I don't know about the combine, though. I think that all you can really do is hurt yourself at the combine. And, like, obviously, like, it would be nice if everybody went to the combine. But the fact is, like, a lot of the, like, truly blue chip, like, top five guys don't go. So it's like you were just saying about Colin Sexton. It's like, you know, these guys kind of get to make up their own profile their entire lives. So all it takes is you going to the combine and getting measured differently or having a bad game, because those games are gross, man. Like, I wouldn't blame anybody for being like an elite prospect, especially since no one goes, to just be like, nah, like, whatever. Like, you guys are going to be picking between me and other guys who aren't going to be here. So why would I give you more ammo to use against me, you know?
Now let's take a moment to hear from one of our sponsors. Are you looking to buy or sell in the Orlando area? If the answer is yes, there are no better hands to be in than the Price Group of Keller Williams. My wife and I purchased our first home about a year ago, and we could not have been more impressed or appreciative of the Price Group and all of their hard work. And we had been searching for about 6 months and had almost given up hope with our other realtor. We were getting nowhere. But with the Price Group's help, we found our home in less than a month, and we even saved $10,000 off the buyer's original price with their help. Their award-winning team can help you buy, sell, invest, whatever your needs are. So go to choosethepricegroup.com. That's choosethepricegroup.com. Ask for Robert Stack and tell them Preston sent you. All right, Will, we're going to start with you. We've got a question from Ringo. I'm going to throw this to both of you. And the question is, can you give us your Magic draft board? Since we have the sixth pick, give us your top six players. And this doesn't have to be the best overall player. This should be the six players on the Magic's radar. And of course, the six listed in most mock drafts: Luka Doncic, DeAndre Ayton, Jaren Jackson, Marvin Bagley, Mo Bamba, and then some version of Trae Young, Wendell Carter, Miles Bridges. Give us yours, Will.
I think for us personally, there's a couple of guys, like, okay, it's what you guys were saying about Bagley. I feel like if we draft a guy like Bagley or Porter, we have to be sure that they will be a star, because I don't think those guys fit with Aaron Gordon. Just my opinion. But I think that if you got Aaron Gordon, Isaac, and this other third player, none of whom can really shoot, like, we're not really sure that any of these guys can shoot. So you might get the three of them averaging 35% from three, and you can't play all three of them together. And then if you play two of them together, then you have two players that can't shoot. It's just a slippery slope. So I personally, if you're okay with letting Aaron Gordon go, you can get a Porter or a Bagley. But to me, it's like I said, I see star potential in Porter and not as much Bagley. So maybe I would take that swing for the fences, but I would rather honestly keep Gordon. I would look, I hate to be this guy, but I would look a little bit more at positional needs. You know, obviously Doncic, Ayton are the biggest guys. I'm huge on Jaren Jackson Jr. And Bamba as well. And then I think you, like you said, go to the point guards and go for Sexton and Trey. I think that some of those other guys that are wings don't really help the Magic as much. And if it's between, like I said, drafting a Bagley, but not keeping Aaron Gordon long term, even if you re-sign him, the odds that he completes his, you know, 4-year deal or whatever it happens to be, I think are low. So maybe then you have another decision you got to make. If you draft Bagley, it's like, okay, well, one of these three guys can't stay here, so then we have to do something else. Why not then draft a big that can play with those other two guys, or draft a guard, swing for the fences on Trey, or, you know, if you like Sexton. I would rather, with the way that our roster is set up, not go for a guy who's like Aaron Gordon.
All right, Aaron, it's your turn. And also give us like a dark horse candidate that the Magic might take that could surprise us.
Okay, so I have Doncic number one, kind of at a tier, you know, alone, because I just think he's just so advanced running the pick and roll for his size and his basketball IQ. And we don't need to even worry about it because he will not be around at six. So, you know, he would be at the top of the board just in case something crazy would happen where you could maybe trade up. I agree with Will. I would have Jaren Jackson at two, just because I know the center and the big man is not as important in today's game, but he showed the ability in college to shoot. He actually, by a lot of draft sites I respect and read, has been rated as one of the better ball handlers for the big men in this class, and just can kind of adapt, I think, where he wouldn't struggle to guard another stretch four or something on the perimeter. You know, he was one of the best, you know, advanced statistic, you know, rim protectors and shot blockers, and he's just kind of your modern NBA big man. I probably, because this is a Magic specific board, would have Trae Young pretty high, higher than just an overall big board. I think I would put him at three, just again because of you know, fit, because of need, because the Magic, you know, struggle so much to shoot, to score, and maybe this is not a good reason, but it would just make people around the league care a little bit more about the Magic, bring a little relevancy there, which brings me, I guess, to four, to DeAndre Ayton. And I know he'll probably go one or two, but man, he just, like, he looks like Tarzan, but, like, I don't know. I'm worried in the NBA that he's going to play like Jane. That's what we say all the time when I used to coach football. He looks like he was made in the laboratory, but gosh, I got scared off. Cole Zwicker said he was kind of like a rich man's Nikola Vucevic. So, like, I mean, honestly, if you think about it, like, he's going to score in the NBA probably 16, 18 points. Like, he's going to grab 11 rebounds. But I don't know. Like, he just did not impress me at all, like, as physically dominant as he is, like, defensively. And I know he was being played out of position, but the Magic draft him, I don't see that he makes them like that much better. Like, I don't know. He would have to go to the right situation. So he's lower on my board.
Wait, real quick. Let me ask you this. If you could only draft Bamba, Jackson, or Ayton, which order do you take them in?
Jackson. I think I would take, this is going to sound crazy, I would take Bamba ahead of, I mean, it's really hard to ignore the 7'10 wingspan. Like, his floor, right, Bamba, is so Gobert. Like, he's already probably just as offensively advanced. So,
which is not,
I don't know.
I definitely think there's,
go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead, Will.
No, I kind of agree with you. Like I people have said, like I saw something the other day that said, like, if you looked at defensive box plus minus, like the bottom of the NBA, every single one of those, you know, 20 bottom guys were better than Ayton in college at defense. And so it's like, it's crazy. Like people have been comparing him to like Okafor and stuff. And like, I understand like the physical tools. Again, if you have a coach that you trust, like he could mold him, but we kind of don't right now. So I'm huge on Jackson. I might actually put Bamba ahead of him as well.
All right, let's go
yeah,
ahead and move
Arizona on. Was a mess. Like, if you watched Arizona's film,
yeah,
it's just so hard sometimes to look at college stats because their systems are so weird. Like, you look at Duke. Like, I'm not very high on Bagley at all. I wasn't even going to mention him on my big board because we're talking about a guy that's like 6'10", 6'11", with like a 6'11", 7-foot wingspan. I mean, there's guards in this draft that have the same size reach. So, you know, what is he in today's NBA? Like, he probably would have been your – prototypical power forward in the 80s or 90s, but now it's like he can't really shoot threes. He kind of bullied smaller players in college on the block, but like he's not going to defend at all. Like Duke went zone because of him. Like he's like a red flag to me. I don't know.
Yeah, well, the Magic's sitting in an enviable position, excuse me, because there's nobody out there who really needs a Trae Young at this point. Sacramento Kings and Memphis and Dallas all come with their own point guards. And unless Dennis Schroeder is dealt at some point, you'd have to think that Atlanta, all these guys are going to go big men. So something surprising could happen. But as far as it appears, the Magic are right where they need to be so far in Chicago. They've talked to Trae Young, Colin Sexton, Muhammad Bamba, Anthony Simmons, Bruce Bowen Jr., and Dante DiVincenzo. Hopefully I said that right. And Jerome Robinson. Let's very quickly, because we're going over our allotted time here, talk about the 35th and the 41st pick. And I'm going to start this with Aaron and then let Will talk if he wants to. You've written some really nice articles on Aaron Holiday, Javon Carter, Jalen Brunson. What are you hoping to get out of these two picks?
Yeah, so the idea behind these pieces is just, I think the depth of like the draft is kind of at point guard, shooting guard, like the middle to late of this draft, 25 to 40. And so, you know, the Magic have two picks there, but there's some options. Like they could maybe package both of those and see if they can move up to the end of the first round. If there's a guy they just fell in love with, they could use Terrence Ross or Nikola Vucevic to kind of sweeten the pot if they needed to, because they're expiring contracts. And I think it's really important for them to get a second player that's not just a meh, but like another solid bench player, because I just have this nasty taste from last year that they kind of punted on two picks. And then there was like explosions of guys that made a difference this year, made rosters, contributed. And I just think the Magic missed an opportunity there. And so I think they need to rectify that. And you would think with new management, they'd want to put as many of their kind of guys on the roster as possible. But yeah, I think they should look for a backup point guard, probably priority first, you know, regardless of who they draft at six, because they've got DJ Augustine, and that's basically it. Like, there's no other point guard on the roster. Like, Shelvin Mack may or may not be brought back, and there's just a lot of guys there that could work, I think, so.
Yeah, Shelvin Mack is an interesting one because obviously only a million of his six are guaranteed, somewhere in between five and six. So if the Magic should choose somebody like a Trae Young and draft another prospect at that position like an Aaron Holiday, who knows, maybe they don't pick up that guarantee. Will, is there anybody you're targeting at those picks?
No, I mean, I think Aaron pretty much hit it on the head. It's crazy. Me and Aaron, I feel like, are very different people. We think about things differently, but we're, like, very on the same page about the draft. It's kind of weird. But, like, I think, yeah, no, exactly what you said, backup point guard. I personally like Shelvin a little bit more than DJ, but obviously the contract situation is not ideal there. You kind of start to get worried about your point guard situation. So, again, going back to the team that the Magic have, if you go for a big man in the draft, you could maybe – use a couple of picks on guards and be like, all right, well, we're going to get a starting point guard out of this draft. Figure it out, guys, and just kind of let that play itself out, because that job is very much open for competition.
All right, let's go ahead and move on to the head coaching carousel. And this one's tricky, Aaron, because like we just mentioned, nobody knows who the Magic's newest star is going to be. They don't know as to the future of Aaron Gordon at this point. Gordon is said to be courted by a few teams. There's not a lot of teams with the cap space to sign him. Of course, they could propose some kind of sign and trade. I'm not even sure how that would work with Aaron's cap hold versus what he actually made last year in terms of salary. It sounds pretty complicated to me. But one thing that we do know for sure is that Mark Stein of the New York Times times is pretty reliable in his Magic reporting, because he correctly predicted that Frank Vogel was going to get fired 2 weeks before the season ended. And we were all too timid to ask Vogel about it. I remember the first game, I can't remember which one it was, but sitting there just thinking nobody's going to ask him about this article, but none of us did. But now Mark Stein is reporting that Kelvin Sampson could be a target. And of course, he worked as the Milwaukee Bucks assistant coach under Scott Skiles when the Magic president of basketball operations, Jeff Weltman, was the assistant general manager at the time, and John Hammond was the general manager. So a lot of things tie these two camps together. He's 62 now, and he's been at the University of Houston, the Cougars. Well, corrected me on that, I should say. I mentioned Chicago before we were on air. Let's start with Aaron. Let's talk about some candidates you're interested in, and what would you think of a Kelvin Sampson hiring?
It's strange. Like, I probably wouldn't think much. I don't know. I saw him coach a decent amount the last few years at Houston, just because, you know, I watch a lot of UCF games. The only thing that really popped into my head when I heard that, other than it was just ridiculous and random, was that Orlando, of course, you know, the Amway Center, they did host the AAC championship tournament this year. So Houston won that tournament. And so Houston was in town in Orlando in Amway for three or four days. So, you know, I wonder if there was a conversation. I wonder if maybe some people saw a conversation and just kind of are putting pieces together, and maybe it's like a fake story or whatever. But, you know, if this really is something to that, maybe that was the beginning of this relationship, because it's so random. I know he was an assistant coach under Hammond Welton for like a year or two, but I mean, that's, I don't know if we're overrating that relationship a little bit. There's some other guys that I thought would maybe make a little bit more sense, but who knows? I think what happened is the Magic ran into a summer where all of a sudden Toronto fired their coach, Milwaukee fired their coach, and now you've got like legitimate organizations with proven all-stars, and you're just going to have to wait to see like who doesn't get hired and just kind of catch whatever falls to you. And that's probably not what they anticipated.
You know what happened? The coaching talent flattened out.
Yeah. Well, the Magic haven't won more than 35 games in 6 years. They've had five coaches in 7 years. The Magic faithful is tired of the rebuilding sentiment. How important is this hire?
I mean, I think it's pretty huge. Obviously, I just think they got to draft better. I mean, I think that we've kind of proven that you can hire any kind of coach. You can hire, you know, ex-player Spurs assistant. You can hire, you know, ex-Magic player that has playoff experience. You can hire Frank Vogel, who is like the all-star game coach. And really, if you don't have the players to win, you just don't win. So like, I think that like, it's, I understand that it's a big deal and it's a big hire, but at the same time, like, you know, I wasn't really mad at Kelvin Sampson. I was like, okay, like I would rather him than Jerry Stackhouse, honestly. I'd rather him than, like, cause I don't know, like, I think that what's important at this point, like I said, is development. The coach that we hire right now may not be the coach that brings us to the promised land. Like we've talked about, the way that Monty Williams was for the Pelicans, maybe we need A or the Monty Williams for us. I don't know. But I'm not as focused on this hire as long as it's not just a terrible hire. You know, I don't think we have to knock it out of the park as long as we don't just tank it again.
All right, we've got a question from Chris Knight. Before I get to that, of course, you guys might remember him from his time at University of Oklahoma and Indiana University, where he had a history of violations and probations that effectively prevented other schools from hiring him. But since then, he never really had had trouble finding work. He was an assistant with the Spurs, and a consultant. He also spent some time in Milwaukee 3 years, as we mentioned. He's always kind of been in the mix as far as hirings go, regardless of that history. So if any of you wanted us to bring that up, let's just put that to bed. Obviously, people around the league and around the NCAA still respect him and still want his advice. One thing that I wanted to phrase to or send to Aaron, this question from Chris Knight, is in terms of coaching hires, last year, sometime in September, Randy Whitman was brought on as a consultant, and Chris Knight is asking about him. Could he have any say on who the coach hiring is?
I think he would. I mean, you know, he's obviously a former NBA head coach, and he was brought in to kind of help out. You know, he's going to have to not only have input with who the head coach would be, but probably help maybe with contacts to, you know, assimilate a whole staff, because the Magic let go all of their assistant coaches and like just a whole training staff. And I'm assuming maybe the scouting department's had like an overhaul. So, you know, he is going to have some input for sure. I really haven't honestly heard his name since the end of last season being involved in this. Like, I've heard it's pretty much, you know, Jeff Weltman calling the shots. So it's a really excellent question. I tell my students in class just to look it up when I don't have the answer. But I'm sure it's somewhere behind closed doors. I mean, we know the Magic have kept everything pretty close to the vest as far as this whole process goes. And, you know, so I don't really know.
All right. Will, anything you want to add to that?
About Whitman or just...
Just the coaching hire. Basically, what I'm saying is I'm preparing to move on. And if there's anything left you want to mention as far as head coaching searches go, please, this is your opportunity.
Yeah, I'm not really sure why they did a total purge of the staff. I mean, there are a lot of guys that have been let go that I think were fan favorites. I honestly liked a lot of what Chad Fortier was doing, the way he carried himself. And we saw him in interviews a little bit. You know, I don't necessarily know if – you know, we've talked about the way that Weltman and Hammond have handled themselves, and I've taken a little bit of an issue with it, kind of their amount of headstrongness. And I think that that's a way that they kind of misstepped in that. I think that there are a lot of good pieces in the Magic organization that they just kind of purged out as if they were all the problem. Whereas I previously said, it's pretty much just not having good players.
Yeah, some of the other coaching candidates out there who have been brought up in association with the Magic, of course, Stan Van Gundy still has his home here. Dwayne Casey, Nick Nurse was a popular one this offseason. And as the guys have already mentioned, Jerry Stackhouse. Let's go ahead and move on to the real story of the Magic offseason and certainly their future, at least the next 4 years, is Aaron Gordon. And during the season from February on, there were some reports from Evan Massey and Sporting News that some teams like the Pacers, like the Suns, like the Mavericks might be throwing their money at Aaron Gordon, and he could be maxed out and get an offer similar to the one that Otto, not Michael Porter Jr., received last year from the Brooklyn Nets. Aaron, gauge the interest on Aaron Gordon. I know that a lot of teams are capped for space right now, but with that being said, he could potentially have an all-star level talent. We've seen him improve his three-point shooting. I think he was around 60% the first 2 weeks of the year, and he ended up settling somewhere around 33% on the year, averaging 18-8. We've seen him score 40 points. He's got more athleticism than anybody else around the NBA. How much would you pay him?
Oh, that's a good question. It's going to be 20, you know, as a starting point, if not more, which I know sounds like a lot, but you know, you always have to realize that the salary cap is a little bit higher than it used to be. It's now, you know, over $100 million. And each year in Gordon's, you know, contract, that salary cap would increase slightly. So really, you know, you'd look at his contract as a percentage of the salary cap for you know, your best idea. But, you know, the number is going to be somewhere 20, 22. I don't know how comfortable I would be getting higher than that. That's pushing, you know, a rookie level contract max anyways. I don't know. Like, I'm a little worried because I think some teams that maybe tried to create some space this summer for run at LeBron James or Paul George or something, you know, if they're going to swing and miss, they're going to have some extra money. And, you know, especially the Lakers, I'm kind of worried about because there's already reports that Paul George might sign just another one-year deal and wait till next summer, or LeBron James might sign a one-year deal. Like, these guys now, they can kind of control their own autonomy by signing one-year deals and just waiting for the cap to increase to you know, make the most money possible. But anyways, you know, if there's nobody else that's major on the market and the Lakers are sitting there with some cap space, like if they make a run at Aaron Gordon, Orlando is going to be, you know, in a little bit of a pinch. The wise thing would probably be to bring him back, because from a cap situation, they're going to be pretty close to maxed out anyways, with or without him. Biombo and Fournier's contracts just kill them. So you might as well not let like good players walk and then just figure it out later. But I don't know if they can get a sign and trade done and make it work and make sense and get some people back. You know, you have to at least do your due diligence and listen. I think he will be back. If I had to put money down on it, which I hear is legal these days in sports, but I think he'll be back.
Well, one of the most exciting storylines in my mind is picturing a universe in which Aaron Gordon is signed by Indiana and joins all first team defense and all-star Victor Oladipo. What would you think of that?
Well, hey, man, don't forget about Sabonis, too. But yeah, I mean that I don't know. It's possible, but they already have Thad Young and enough bigs. I think that would really just be despite the magic at that point. Aaron, you talked about LA. I don't think that's really that possible. In my opinion, I think they would probably just go after Julius Randle if they struck out, because, like, you know what they say, man, the undersized power forward that you know is better than one that you don't know. So I think that just is going to end up being Julius Randle's money. But yeah, I mean, I think that Aaron made some good points. I think that they got to do pretty much everything they can to keep him. A lot of these bad deals are going to start coming off the books, especially, you know, if they start trading some of these guys and the salaries become a little bit more malleable. Obviously you can't trade Biombo, but hey, we're almost out of that tunnel, so let's go. But yeah, no, I think that, you know, he's a young player. We've talked about this before, but we watched Victor walk away or get traded away. We've seen all these players, Harkless, Tobias Harris, guys that are good basketball players, leave for way under their value. So you might as well, on in the Magic situation, you know, normally you hear about teams like, you know, the Patriots and such moving on from a guy too early. With the Magic situation, it's better to just hold on a little bit too long, because if you get burned again, then you're back to square one.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely. The 76ers have some cap space, as you mentioned. That's another intriguing possibility, as well as the Los Angeles Lakers, who have two available max slots. And should they seek a third in a sign and trade, they could propose to send the Magic some version of, I don't know, Luol Deng, and then combine him with some young talent like a Josh Hart and a Kyle Kuzma, or maybe even Brandon Ingram, although I think they probably value Ingram over Kuzma at one point. But they could sweeten the pot for the Magic in terms of the Magic missing out on Kuzma last year and maybe rectifying that ill and maybe throw in a pick or two. There are possibilities out there, and a lot of teams are going to have interest in a guy with his potential upside in a market that's going to be kind of limited. There's not going to be too much available talent to be had out of the market, as the guys have already mentioned, other than guys like Paul George and LeBron and Kawhi and Chris Paul, but nobody cares about those guys. So let's just keep right on. Let's finish up by talking about Jonathan Isaac looks ripped. Will, have you seen any pictures recently?
Yeah, absolutely. People were like kind of giving me crap whenever he got drafted, because like I remember AD looking like he did when he got drafted. And I was like, look, guys, like at the end of the day, this guy's smart. He's long. He's athletic. He's not healthy per se. But like people that were, I mean, I know a lot of Magic fans were mad that they didn't get Dennis Smith Jr. And I guess I understand that because he played this year. But if you look at how, I mean, going back to Anthony Davis, you look at the way that he defended Anthony Davis in that one game that the Magic won early in the season, you can see that this guy was already, I mean, Frank Vogel said it, he's already the best defender on the team. And he's young. He's very, he's a good guy. He's really genuine, and he's a great teammate. And so I think that the story is just beginning for him, and I think that him adding mass is huge on that. I'm personally very like a big buyer of his potential, and I think that, you know, step one is him adding muscle and being able to carry his frame a little bit better.
Aaron, would you expect continue on that line of thinking, and would you expect to see Jonathan Isaac at Summer League this year?
I think so. I mean, that's kind of, I know it's new management, but that's kind of been the precedent of the Magic for a few years now, is take your second or third year former lottery players and at least have them go through summer league practice. I remember Oladipo, his second year, he played, you know, a couple games. They sat him out. Elfrid Payton, I think they even brought him back his third year and, you know, played a couple games. And you can always sit out as the week goes on. Now we have a whole new system now where, you know, the summer league games won't be in Orlando. They'll be in Las Vegas. So that might change. That might change Orlando's thinking. They also have their own, you know, independent G League team. So maybe you want a roster full of guys that you could give a better look for the G League. So I don't know, but I think he will, because he didn't play that much this year, and you kind of want to see him dominate and, you know, be productive and build a little confidence going into training camp. So I would be surprised if he wasn't there at least for a couple games.
All right, before we wrap this up, my buddy Kevin Berrios just sent me a clip of Steph Curry getting an and one and throwing a haymaker and nearly connecting with Mike Callahan's face. This follow Rob Perez. I'll send it from you. He's at Worldwide Wob. I'll make sure to get that to you in a DM. It's truly terrifying to think of what possibly could have transpired had he connected on that swing. But that's all the time we have for now. You guys remember, if you like what you're hearing and you want more podcasts, you want more Do You Believe in Magic, you can make it happen. Just retweet this episode, share with your friends, like it, make sure to spread the word. The more people actually download our podcast, the more interest we're going to have in delivering it for you. And let's go ahead and just say, for every person who retweets this episode, other than Will and Aaron, who always get shout outs, we will shout out your name and a special thanks on our next pod. So if that's not incentive, I don't know what is. Right now, our pod is ranked dead last among SB Nation pods. But with that being said, we're pretty new, only about 15 to 17 episodes in. Lastly, help us change that, and we'll come with you guys more and more as the offseason goes along. Aaron, anything you'd like to plug before we let you go?
I think if you just kind of check out Orlando Pinstripe Post, you know, there's going to be just randomly, there's really no set schedule, randomly, like just some articles about previewing some guys the Magic could potentially draft. I do have kind of a question and answer interview set up with Cole Swicker over at the Stepien. So I'm looking forward to that because he's kind of like a really big kind of up and coming guy as far as like draft gurus go. I don't know about you guys, but I didn't realize too heavily, I think, on Draft Express. And now that they've gone behind the paywall, it's kind of weird. Like, I don't know what to do with, like, I've got to work a lot harder. So that's definitely a website you want to check out. But yeah, just draft stuff until June 26th or 3rd or 5th or whenever it is.
And what about you, Mr. Will Ogburn?
Man, I like Draft Express so much that it convinced me Henry Ellenson was going to be a good player, man. Draft Express was so good. But yeah, man, I think I'm finally going to start writing again now that I got my legs kind of under me in Orlando. I want to do some prospect previews like I've done in the past. So yeah, no finite date on those, but I have more free time now, so I'll get started on that.
All right. For all of those of you listening, thank you so much. Like the guys just said, make sure to keep your eyes peeled to Orlando Pinstripe Post. These guys are putting some great content on there, working really hard for you guys. And as always, it was a privilege for me. Thank you guys for joining me again at Aaron Goldstone at Go So Hard, spelled G-E-A-U-X, in case you're not from Louisiana. I'm Preston Ellis. This is Do You Believe in Magic? We're glad that you guys joined us, and we will talk to you soon.